Chapter 9. We took a bit more time preparing for the trip to Deenon, since it was almost guaranteed that we'd have to deal with Imperial forces at some point. We packed some changes of clothing that might serve as simple disguises, along with some putty and makeup for more sophisticated cover, and gave the Desert Jewel new transponder codes to go with her new paint job. The weapons installed on Rhodia had interrupted the sleek profile she'd boasted before, and that helped alter the appearance, too. Any Imperials on the lookout for the rogue that destroyed two TIE fighters in the Lonix system would have trouble identifying this as the same ship. We were almost ready to leave when Leia hailed us, rushing onto the hangar deck with 3PO whirring behind her as fast as he could manage.
"Luke, wait! You need to know this."
She took a couple of breaths once she reached me.
"Ah, glad I caught you."
"What's up?"
3PO reminded me of a given greeting custom that I'd almost forgotten. "You need to know some greeting maths."
"Greeting maths?"
"Yes. It's customary among the given to say hello with math. If you can't at least speak the language of math, a given will have a difficult time trusting you. So you have to demonstrate your ability right away. Almost anything's okay, but I advise you to keep it somewhat simple," she said. "And whatever you do, don't ask them to do linear approximations of non-linear partial differential equations, because they take it as an insult, like you're mocking them."
This was already turning into the strangest conversation I'd ever had with Leia, but I went with it.
"Mocking them how?" "They object to approximations, basically. Asking for approximations instead of precision indicates a lack of faith in their abilities at best, and at worst could be construed as you calling them stupid."
"Oh, I'm very glad you told me that. But, like you said, I think keeping it simple would be best." I was hoping she would define simple as addition or subtraction. A tiny smile of amusement played at the corners of Leia's mouth, and she nodded.
"Good.
It seems like the list of your talents never ends. Are you a mathematician, too? How do you know this?"
"I had to deal with Given when I served in the Senate. I have a few equations memorized that you can use."
"Okay, but after I use whatever you teach me, then Drusil is going to reply with an equation for me to solve, right? What do I do then?"
"Well, I suggest you solve it."
"Come on. I can do some easy algebra in my head, maybe, but not differential equations."
"That's quite all right, Master Luke. The most likely answer will be 3.
"What? How can you know that?" 3PO, already ramrod straight, seemed to grow taller and more proud at the opportunity to be pedantic.
"Over the years, Given have grown accustomed to the inability of other beings to greet them properly. So to be polite, she will use an equation with the answer of 3 to follow her traditional greeting customs, but spare both of you the embarrassment of your not knowing the answer. But if you want to impress her, you can ask for a real greeting, and she will give you something random and much more difficult."
No, 3's good. I can deal with 3.
"Great. Let's get started," Leia said, and she painstakingly taught me and Nakari 2 different equations and their answers to use when we eventually met Drusil before him. It was definitely not simple addition, and it took us several attempts to commit it all to memory. When we were finished and finally ready to leave, Leia looked around the hangar, vaguely disappointed at what she saw. If I had to guess, she was searching for the Millennium Falcon, and unhappy that Han and Chewie hadn't snuck in somehow while she wasn't looking. She was probably worried, as I was, that we'd never see them again. But she always kept fighting for the people she could see, the people she could save. Hers was the example we all followed. Her farewell was a brief hug and an enjoinder to remain safe. And as usual on such occasions, when we parted, I managed a nod and nothing more, turning to board the ship before I said or did anything awkward. we navigated a sneaky path out of Orto Plutonia to avoid the Imperial division I'd skirmished with earlier, and relaxed once we had a course plotted along well-traveled hyperspace lanes. Nothing but numbing hours of blurred stars stretched before us. So I said, "Mind if I ask you something? I hope it's not rude." Nakari didn't turn her head, but she cocked an eyebrow, her eyes sliding my way. "Well, if it is rude, you can be sure I'll let you know." "Hope you'll forgive me if so, but here's the thing. People who are fairly well-to-do, as you and your father are, rarely get so upset with the current state of affairs that they decide things need to change. Because usually it's the current state of affairs that made them rich. So, you know, why am I involved in the rebellion?" Nakari finished. "Exactly." She looked down, clenched her jaw, and tightened her good hand into a fist, then made an effort to relax and speak calmly. "The Empire killed my mother over a song."
"What?"
"My mother was a songwriter and vocalist. She sang backup harmonies for a band."
"Really? What band?"
"Don't laugh, okay? The name wasn't her idea. They were called Hacko Draslip and the Tootle Fruits."
"The Tootle Fruits?"
Nakari sighed with a note of impatience. "I know how ridiculous it sounds to tell people your mom was a Tootle Fruit. I don't even know what a Tootle Fruit is, okay? But anyway, she wrote a political song for the group, and they recorded it, and it became their biggest hit. Thing is, it got them all sent to the spice mines of Kessel."
"But that means she could still be alive."
"No," she said flatly. "This was 10 years ago. There's no hope she's alive now."